Hey everybody, it's Michelle Fisher and welcome into A View From My Window. As always, I thank you for joining me today. January is Birth Defects Prevention Month, and today we are going to explore the important issue of fetal alcohol syndrome. I'm talking with Craig Peterson, a father of three young men and one daughter impacted by fetal alcohol syndrome. Hi, Craig.
Hi, Michelle.
How are you?
I'm great.
It's nice to meet you. Let's talk about first, what is fetal alcohol syndrome?
Fetal alcohol syndrome is a diagnosis that a child can receive if and only if the birth mother has consumed alcohol during pregnancy, which then affects the neurological development of the fetus.
Wow. So let's talk a bit about how that affects your family then. You have six children, four of them are affected by this disorder. How does that affect them in everyday life?
The key word there is everyday, because fetal alcohol syndrome produces irreversible permanent brain damage that no amount of therapy, no amount of medication will make the damage go away. And so they will be dealing with it the rest of their lives. Mm-hmm. We can try and manage the impact, but they will always have challenges that we will seek to overcome.
Let's talk a little bit about, too, sort of your background as their father and how this adoption process started for you.
Back in 1998, I decided that I wanted to have a family, and I started to look through the state of Indiana, and there's many children in the foster care system whose parental rights have been terminated, and they're looking for a permanent family. And I located a sibling group of four in Madison County who all had been diagnosed with fetal alcohol syndrome, and the county was committed to keeping the sibling group together, and I was good enough to say I will take all four, when a lot of people
were saying just take two
or even only take the youngest.
When you were doing research, you kind of learned who they were and how this disorder affected them as you got them. But how important was the support group as you got them to you as a parent and dealing with the challenges they faced every day?
When I was preparing for my adoption interview, I had done some research on fetal alcohol, and I thought I was pretty well informed. And after my children came to my home, I realized how much I didn't know about the syndrome. And it was a lot of trial and error and observing behaviors and talking to other parents who were raising children with fetal alcohol syndrome. There's a great support network in the state of Washington where fetal alcohol syndrome was discovered at the University of Washington Medical Center in 1985. And so I was fortunate to meet some wonderful parents early on who gave me some real insider information about what to do with the schools, what to do with medical care, how to minimize the problems. There's a real issue with fetal alcohol. They talk about the primary disability. Mm-hmm. And if you don't deal with the primary disability, you then have what they call secondary disabilities, where the child will fail in school, the child might get involved in the juvenile justice system, the child might develop psychiatric problems, and those were all the issues I was trying to avoid.
I mean, here you were, a father wanting to start a family, and you have all these issues to deal with. Was that overwhelming for you?
Some days, yes. I think a lot of adoptive parents have perseverance in their genes, otherwise they wouldn't embark upon this adventure. And I knew that I would stick the course with my child and figure out how to make it work.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about how you wanted your children to have a recollection of their birth mother. But was there any anger as far as what she did to these children. I mean, they were children, you know, they didn't deserve that, but she drank while she was pregnant.
Right.
So was there any anger on your part because they weren't allowed to be children? They had to deal with these challenges.
I would say initially, Michelle, I had a little bit of anger because fetal alcohol syndrome is 100% preventable if a birth mother does not drink during pregnancy. This isn't something that randomly occurs. It's not genetic. It happens because a pregnant woman consumes alcohol. So initially I was angry. And then when I had a chance to get to know the birth mother, I realized that she suffered from great ignorance. And she knew that, for example, that crack was not good to use if you were pregnant, but she was drinking. And so somehow the media got the message out that crack and pregnancy do not go together, but the message about alcohol didn't reach her. When ironically, alcohol has more long-term damaging effects than crack. Not that we want birth mothers out there smoking crack,
right.
But alcohol produces permanent, irreversible damage to a child.
Let's talk about how that damage then has followed them throughout life then. You know, when you deal with the schools, you were telling me in your background information when I met you that you're a preventer of problems before they begin and turn into the mess. But how do you deal with that? How do you deal with people in the schools that may not have maybe a grasp of what's actually involved with fetal alcohol syndrome?
Early on, even though I wasn't the expert I've become 15 years later, I knew more than most educators. Mm. A lot of educators were pretty ignorant themselves about fetal alcohol syndrome, and I took it upon myself to do a lot of education. I photocopied a lot of articles, which probably were never read, but I did my best to make sure teachers understood what they were dealing with. And if we worked smarter rather than harder, we could minimize the impact of the disability and help my children learn. Because especially in elementary school, a lot of learning in kindergarten through fifth or sixth grade is based on rote memorization. And that's a real strength for kids with fetal alcohol. They can memorize facts. They can learn through repetition. And so it was real key for me during elementary school that my children be pushed as far as they could to maximize their academic potential.
As a parent, you're seeing all of this and how if these things are put into action, they can thrive. So if a parent is dealing with a newly diagnosed child with fetal alcohol syndrome, what is your advice to them as far as school-aged and going through life with these children?
The advice I would give parents is similar to probably any disability, mm-hmm. is you have to identify what are the strengths of the child, because all children, regardless of their disability, have strengths.
Right.
And on the flip side, what are the challenges or deficits? And my goal always has been, how do we use the abilities to compensate for the disabilities? And that's worked real well. And especially when I've worked with schools on formulating individual education programs, mm-hmm. that we've worked really hard when we've developed accommodations for my children. We didn't pick from a cookie cutter list, but we carefully looked at what accommodations could we offer to my children that would allow them to be successful in the general education curriculum. And for the most part, that worked pretty well.
So it was more individualized. It wasn't just...
highly individualized.
Because...
And at times I had some real rubs with teachers from here and there, and I'm sure teachers would admit that. And I think a lot learned from me and saw that when we really understand the child and the family, we can do what's right.
When you look at teachers in the education system now, is it just because they're ignorant? Or is it just because they don't really sit down and think about the situations that they're presented with?
When you think about a teacher or a teacher who's the special education teacher, we expect that person to be an expert on a lot of disabilities. And frankly, it's got to be overwhelming.
Sure.
And so in the 6 years that I was an adjunct faculty member at the University of Indianapolis, and I taught a course on family and professional collaboration, we really worked on teaching special educators to be a private investigator. And who is your best source to get the information about the child?
Mm-hmm.
It's the family.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you spend time working with the family, regardless if they're a family living in poverty or if they're a family with economic means, you can learn a lot from that family, because the key with children with disabilities is reinforcing learning. Mm-hmm. They might not get it the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And there's simply not enough time in the school day to make that happen. So how do we extend that learning into the family home to make learning more successful?
And I thought it was interesting, too, when you were telling me that you, as a parent, are on call 24/7. You have to be their external brain for decision making. So how does that play into when you go into a situation, when you go into schools and reveal these plans to parents who are dealing with this for the first time?
The key word there you said, Michelle, was external brain. And a real issue with children with fetal alcohol syndrome is they lack judgment. The part of our brain that deals with judgment, that didn't form properly during pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
So whereas a typically developing child can make a mistake, they can learn from it.
Right.
Whereas your child with fetal alcohol syndrome doesn't often understand cause and effect. Mm-hmm. So they will repeat the same mistake over and over again, thinking that that same approach is going to work. And I've seen that hundreds of times with my own children.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that we've really worked with schools with my children is I have my cell phone with me at all times. Thank goodness for cell phones.
Yes.
And if there's a crisis pending in the classroom, pick up the phone and call me. Let me talk to my child. So that's become a big part of behavior plans for my children. Because if we can catch that misperception of language early on, in many cases, what the teacher might be saying might be misperceived by my child.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes the situation worse.
Mm-hmm.
So if I can hear the teacher, if I can speak to my child, I can mediate a solution so we can get on with the school day.
Well, and you talk about misperceived children. How do you counteract those misperceptions that they're not lazy, that they're not unwilling, that they're not disobedient, that they're just dealing with issues that not all children have to deal with?
I have found through the years, Michelle, that you can talk yourself blue in the face about the facts of fetal alcohol syndrome, but until you can catch teachers in the moment, they won't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
So I become the king of emails and getting a hold of teachers. So when something goes right, I let the teachers know that's what works.
Mm-hmm.
And let's repeat that in the future. So let's celebrate that success and learn from it and repeat it in the future. And oftentimes I think that parents of children with disabilities forget to praise the educators. It's real easy for people to get so frustrated that they're always talking down to the teachers. And you get this vicious cycle going back and forth. The parents badmouth the teachers talk disparagingly about the child and the family. And that does nothing for anyone. So I think when you create a more productive dialogue and build from a position of strength, everyone benefits.
From your reservoir of knowledge, then, you are in 3 months into writing a book about fetal alcohol
syndrome.
And what is it going to entail?
I'm about 4 months into writing that book after a lot of encouragement from my family and friends and colleagues who've listened to my stories for the past 15 years, oftentimes with disbelief. They said, you've got to write a book. And I started about 10 years ago and never got anywhere with that. So finally this fall, I said, I really want to do this. My children are older now, they're more stable. So I decided that I would quit my job and write full time until I get the book finished. So right now I'm working on the book, and the title of the book is Adopting Faith, A Father's Unconditional Love. And really trying to talk about the gifts that children bring. How do we work with their strengths? How do we never lose our vision of what can be, always clinging to that faith that we have or that we have to find, and making a better life for these children?
Well, Craig, I have to say that your story was the most inspirational story I've heard. I wish you all the best. I wish your children all the best. And I know that your book, when it comes out, will be a wonderful resource for parents. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Michelle. I appreciate it.
Feel free to contact me with your questions and start the discussion if you have been touched with fetal alcohol syndrome. For more information and resources and links on fetal alcohol syndrome, go to my Facebook page, A View From My Window with Michelle Fisher, and visit Craig's Facebook page for more information and links. Also, go to the Fetal Alcohol Syndrome Community Resource Center website as well. I thank you so much to my viewers for listening today. Thank you so much, everybody. Bye-bye.